Welcome to Sad Boys, a podcast about feelings and other things also. I'm Jarvis.
I'm Jordan. It's all jazz.
It's all jazz, and we're joined today by Hassan D. Piker, the man, the myth, the legend, the big boy, the Kaya dad.
I'm a dog dad.
Any extra superlatives? Gucci shirt purchaser.
I did purchase a Gucci shirt. I bought a car.
Nice.
Oh, how dare you?
No more socialism?
And a house. I was like, yo, once I get this bread, fucking... That's what I thought the bread book was about. Get your bread up. So I did. And, you know, now the socialism shit is over.
Yeah, guys. It's over. Wait, okay. So you were saying you were a shoes off household.
Yeah, I was, Turkish people, we don't wear shoes in the house normally. And I'm very anal about like being clean.
Right.
My house, at least other streamers will attest to this, is a very low bar to clear for streamers. Their houses are awful.
Yeah.
They live in these like, multi-million dollar chateaus basically, and it's all like piles of trash and boxes everywhere. But my house is very clean all the time. I want to make sure it's clean all the time. I tell everybody to take their shoes off until I got Kaya, and she was pissing and shitting everywhere like a demon. She had a spot. I would walk her, she would not poop. And then she had a little spot in the house where she would go and hide her little poops.
Oh. Did you have her in a, you know, like a pin?
Yeah.
Because that was when I first got Dipper, he had a stomach bug that we couldn't figure out what the issue was. And he could not have solid stool to save his life.
Ooh, that's bad.
Yeah. And so it would literally be just diarrhea all the time. Stressful to go on walks even because... You don't want to hit the concrete, and then it's really hard to clean out of the...
Yeah. You're just scraping.
Yeah.
Hoping that it's, like, not going to cut open, like, a hole in the poop bag.
Yeah.
But you're scraping the concrete with your poop bag.
Or praying that, like there were a few areas that were just dirt, and those were the areas where I'm like, I need you to go right here, right now, or else.
The tiny little town I grew up in, it was weirdly... Oh, not weirdly. It's, like, you know, very... It's standardized here to spay and neuter. Just wasn't there. Like, the idea of it wasn't even, like, culturally... common, and so dogs constantly just getting randomly pregnant. It became a system in our life, and then eventually my whippet got pregnant. Six, I was gonna say kids.
Bro, you're out here talking like the dog, like Jesus Christ. Oh, yeah. Or something. Like the dog accidentally, like magically, your dog was a virgin. And then she was pregnant.
I don't... You're being so rude to my dog, a Christian.
How young were you? Is that what your parents told you? Like, the dog was a virgin, and then one day she had six children.
Babies. I think I was literally just operating on like the science of like momentum, you know, like just like, and then stuff happens. Yeah. You know, when you're a kid and you can't die, you're just like, I'll just like walk on stuff and fall over.
Your skin heals itself.
That hadn't happened for like childbirth yet. I hadn't been like, oh, people do stuff and then the kid happens.
Yeah.
No, like people just randomly.
Well, you're an adult now, which is why I'm shocked that you're still explaining it with the same concept.
Well, it's all framed back. It's like these experiences happen.
Dude, you're not listening. I'm saying it happened when I was a kid, and that is true. Oh, okay. Now that wouldn't be the kid. This fucking true. But after that happened, six puppies, abnormally big for like a whippet litter. And it turns out there's also no potty training standard where I'm from. So every day back from school, the floor's just shit. It's just shit.
So your parents didn't even potty train the dog?
Yeah, it's just me and my mom, and I don't think we ever really anticipated it. She's also a very seat of the pants kind of figured out.
Wait, your dog's name is Whippet?
No, the type of dog.
Oh.
They're like, you ever seen, there's this little mini doc, I think it's on ESPN or something, called The Michael Jordan of Dogs.
Oh, yeah.
And it's about, wait, can we pull this up? Yeah. Actually, could you pull up The Michael Jordan of Dogs? Because.
Oh my God, that's the type of dog you have?
Yeah, it's like a greyhound scaled down.
They're so athletic. And
you're probably thinking their heads are so small, their brains are small, and they're probably dumb, right? Correct, yes. Dumbest dogs.
That's what I was thinking. No, he just, that dog looks like he just only knows how to run. That's what it looks like. It looks like there's only one speed for the dog.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the one, Jacob.
Look at all those. Oh my God.
So we got the treadmill, and I could be doing homework and walking dogs, like killing two birds with one stone.
Wow.
Yeah, he's not even going fast. Whatever.
Just wait.
This dog sucks.
I'm so close to revoking my all dogs are cute principle.
All right, here we go.
Here we go. You're about to change your mind, okay?
The music.
Some may be gross, but they are beautiful.
They leap into the water.
Let's see Kaya do this.
And they have to grab a thing.
Like Michael Jordan.
What the fuck?
And when you see this at full speed, it's insane.
You think Ed Jordan could do this shit?
No way,
no
dude.
Fucking way.
Six rings and he couldn't do a single dog dive.
Dog shit bite. Look at the angle.
It's yeah, the angle's really ridiculous.
Bro, oh. That is so much. That's wild. So much height, dude.
And it's
what
this
the?
Like high school girl who has this uncanny bond with this dog. It's like a movie.
People are going crazy for it. Yeah. They're like, whoa.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, dude, if you live in Iowa, this is the nuttiest shit.
Yeah, look at this.
Yeah, I love that.
The one thing that doesn't hit about this documentary is it sets itself up like it's going to be like I, Tonya, where it's like, wow, this is so impressive, and then a dark story outlines.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
It's just like, yeah, the dog jumped really good.
Yeah, the dog jumped really good. It did destroy another dog's career.
I like, yeah, there's no drama. Yeah,
the dog's ex-boyfriend. Shattered
the dog bites the other dog's leg before the competition. Fucks yeah. the dog up. That's I'm glad that they're doing this. Yo, this yeah. is a great documentary. What a way to start the podcast.
Yeah, I had to talk about Spitfire.
That's actually it for today.
Yeah, all right, peace guys. I mean, we're reacting. I don't know if this is kosher.
Oh yeah, hey look, this ESPN. Okay. And it's just a few seconds.
As far as the industry goes, this is the safe space for React.
Okay.
We can finally, we can say what's on our mind.
Yeah.
Have a nice debate where we agree.
I mean, listen, I posted that photo, remember, from the Streamies last year?
Oh, yeah.
When I was like,
oh, yeah,
me with everyone whose content I've stolen.
Right, right.
And then, like, I guess people don't understand that, like, content creators are friends with one another.
Yeah.
So they're like, no, actually, you are stealing their content. I'm going to be mad on behalf of them.
Yeah, it's a nuanced thing. We talk about this with Ludwig too, where there's just a line where it's like, you know, if you leave the chair and you don't know the creator. I've noticed that you've changed your React habits though. I was watching you do some React. You were watching brand deals. Is there like a big takeaway from like the ReactGate drama that you're just trying to?
No.
Oh, okay.
I feel like as far as ReactGate goes, I've been in the crosshairs
yeah.
for this particular thing many times over. And the first time I changed my habits dramatically, because I do think that it was like fucked up, because I had a dual cam setup where if I was in the kitchen, I was still watching.
Right. Yeah.
But like people didn't fucking know that. Only right. my community knew that. But it was like super clippable to just be like, fuck this guy. You know
yeah.
what? Look at what he's doing.
I think I watched some of your back in the True Crime React
yeah.
era. It would be like you came back and people were like, you missed something. And it was like, no, I watched it. I
yeah.
was there.
And tons and tons and tons of the people that are seeing clips may not be that familiar with your content in general.
Yeah.
And are watching a clip, even if it's one of the extended highlights that you don't upload, but you know, that's
yeah, exactly.
Which it's is, like he just walked or what the hell, but you've been live for 29 hours or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, that there's also that element of it where people are just like unfamiliar with the process, like they don't understand it.
Yeah.
So I changed that a while ago, when the original ReactGate happened. It was like 3 years ago or 2 years ago, I don't even remember. So I stopped doing that, and then I mean, even now, every now and then, I still have to go pee or like
yeah.
other emergencies happen while you're streaming that, you know, I don't really talk about too much.
Sure.
But there's, you know, there's a lot of things happening in a 10-hour time frame throughout the day. So sometimes you're unfortunately away from the computer and can't immediately go back. And I'm not talking like I had explosive diarrhea.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Just regular For diarrhea. Sure.
Yeah, just regular diarrhea.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I mean, regardless. It could be that the dog had explosive diarrhea. And
I mean,
just like, oh,
yeah.
fuck, I have to clean that now.
It's, I think the other line, especially for like the reason it was so easy for the XQC situation to kick this off, the new ReactGate, was because he was literally like not in his chair. And then it was also posted, I think, by one of his editors to YouTube.
Yeah, he would post like straight VOD rips onto his YouTube.
Yeah.
I never do that, but like,
yeah.
But it doesn't matter because a lot of people didn't realize that I have like 1,000 fan owned and operated channels that I don't even touch the revenue of at all. Like, yeah, they just make their own money off of it.
Yeah.
So they're like, what the fuck? This guy's just like, and some of them do have like hundreds of thousands of subscribers.
Yeah. I mean, I would say primarily I consume your stream through the Hassan, you know, Clips Industrial Complex.
Yeah.
And
until ReactGate, I was not really aware of how much involvement you had with all those sub channels, and I didn't realize it was none with like a ton of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't touch them at all. I'm like, you know, go off if you want to make money, make some money off of it. Yeah. I'm not a firm IP defender at all. I think it's bullshit. But, you know, I mean, obviously there's reasonable.
Yeah.
There's bounds of reason. Like, I don't want to offend content creators. I'm a content creator.
Yeah.
People constantly forget that because they're like, oh, all he does is just let his chair watch YouTube videos. But right. Like, I don't want, like, I know the labor that goes into making shit.
For sure.
I don't want to like watch someone's video and just not really watch it and then have that creator be like, well, what the fuck? And I don't want to upload it and be like, take away from their algo. Right. So what I try to do and what I've tried to do for the longest time now is like, I always, one, pull additional data from other places. Like, I'll pull another complimentary video or something like that, you know, right. TikToks, Instagram posts or data in general, if I'm talking about something, and try to make it transformative. Obviously it's live, so there's going to be dead air regardless.
Yeah.
And then like the way I do it is like, look, if you're an editor, if you want to upload my videos, you can, but just like cut the fucking dead air out. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Make sure that you like at least edit it a little bit so that you're not directly just doing like a VOD rip.
Yeah. Right. Cause there need to be guidelines for, you know, even if it's an unaffiliated channel, just for the betterment of the, I guess it's just like the, it's good manners, I think.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And the practice has to be established by creators. As much people will chirp and tell you what to do, ultimately, like, the best practice is established by the person that starts doing it.
There is no,
like, winning a debate and then everyone goes like, oh shit, I guess I will be different.
Yeah.
It just has to have started naturally and considerately.
Like, for example, the thing is, like, even if I have a content creator who I'll watch like a period of the video and I know exactly what time codes I'm watching, and then I'll stop watching and it's like a third of the video, I promote it. And my commentary on it is like much larger than the video itself. Sometimes someone will upload it, and if I feel like you know, I'll talk to content creators about it. If I feel like that uploader has like basically kicked them off the algorithm, like this has happened right before, now. I'll either get Austinox to talk to the channel and like take it down, or I'll tell that if they're not complying, then, you know, you can DMCA it, clap them.
Yeah, it's one of those things that's just like a hard, because at the end of the day, you're working with like fair use that by definition doesn't have like a hard line in the sand. Like, that's always like decided in the courts in terms of like what is transformative. It's always going to be tough. But I think as long as
courts that will always be in favor of, you know, a corporate party. It's not.
Yeah. And I'm the corporate party in this situation, baby. The wealthiest player in the game.
right.
Come at me, little YouTube channels.
Oh, bro. No.
Yeah.
He's mad with power.
The Koch brothers love me watching Jubilee, baby.
Yeah.
That's the funniest part, because like people get mad at that shit. I'm like, do you guys even know? Like, this is their whole brand.
Yeah.
Revolves around streamers reacting to their content. Like,
yeah.
That's
it's
why
a whole
they
ecosystem.
Make
yeah.
Yeah.
Like, they're like, hey, Cody Co, you know, like come in and, you know.
Cut does it too.
Yeah.
They've reached out to me many times. Like, they know how their bread is buttered.
Right, right.
So that's the other side.
And
of
not
it,
everybody like, wants to play that game. And obviously you respect it when someone says,
exactly,
you know,
100%. Like, what is it? CGP Grey, I think.
Ludwig
got clapped by him like a bunch of times. I've never really watched his videos regardless, but he hates it. Like, he's just like, do not fucking watch my videos. I will kill you.
Yeah. And I love CGP Grey as a creator. I like have watched their videos for like years and years, and finding out that like, it like hurt me a little bit. Like it hurt my little parasocial heart, but I also, it's like respected.
Respect,
you know?
Yeah. I heard like Tom Nichols doesn't like it, or not. Is it Tom Nichols? Who's the guy? The British guy?
Tom Scott.
The
Not British Tom, science guy or British
science guy? Not
British
not
the science guy is Tom Scott.
Oh, okay. Tom Nichols is dope.
Yeah. He's like the I've leftist about, like video essay.
Yeah,
guy.
Yeah. No, he's great. I've talked to him about the stuff as well, but that's why his name was in my mind.
Yeah.
No, I was talking about Tom Scott.
Yeah, I love Tom Scott. I get it.
He's done like a whole. It's ironic because like he's done a whole IP video that mm-hmm. I reacted to on stream.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And people were like, "Oh, he's not gonna like this," but it was like, you know. I never uploaded it, but it was definitely transformative. Like we,
right.
It was a spirited discussion.
Yeah. Look, ultimately with stuff like this, the answer is vibes based. If you as a creator are made uncomfortable by it, I don't need you. They shouldn't have to present some kind of like elaborate case.
Right.
It's just okay then. I don't know why or why not.
Yeah.
Fine. Even if cut out of nowhere, all of a sudden I'd go like, this is boutique content. You're ruining it.
Yeah.
Fine. But that's not the burden of a creator that does think they're doing something transformative. That's valid. So
yeah.
Until somebody calls it out, projecting on behalf of the audience is so annoying to me. Just being like, I feel like the creator would feel this way.
Yeah.
Half the time is dudes that nobody's reacting to this chirping.
Yeah.
Which is like, don't worry, man. I'm not watching your stuff. I promise. Like, yeah, but...
he'll be watching my truck simulator video in no time.
Yeah. Making fun of like, me. It's just, you know, but I mean, there is truth to it where it's like, it is annoying. You know what I mean? I don't feel that way, but I know others do not feel the same way. Like you can do whatever the fuck you want with my videos. I don't give a shit.
Right. And then like, yeah, I think it just comes down to the creator and what they want. And obviously like there is fair use. So it's like, if you're like making a video critical of someone and you have to use their video source material, you know, you may have a disagreement with that creator, but that's a different, a different concept. Usually this is in the context of like, entertainment, but like commentary, like almost like a commentary track on top of some existing video.
The way I see it is like the product that I want people to see at the end of the day on YouTube in a VOD format, like a video on demand format, is no different than a commentary video that you would make.
Right.
Like that's, and I make enough commentary on a video that you absolutely could do that.
Yeah.
Which is why I'm always like, listen, these guys, like you gotta edit it a little bit more. Come on.
Right.
Like you're just straight up trying to be first to market. And then you take their thumbnails of the people that like I'm reacting to and it's the same exact title. Yeah, like
you take them out and put another face in.
And it's just like you just did the Mr. Beast app but with my fucking face. The
Chrome extension, yeah.
I think in most cases, I know that it's valid because with a lot of creators, I may have watched the video they're reacting to and then I will watch the react.
Yeah.
Because it is very
different thing. Oh, as a consumer, I am like brain broken in the way of, I think I've talked about this before, where I love watching a movie and then watching ton of like videos about the movie, or watching a video and watching a ton of...
I begrudgingly watch movies so I can be an elitist about whatever the reviews say.
Or I get recommended... like people, like I'll watch a video myself and then like you or like somebody else will react to it and I'll be like, I could watch it again. I don't know. It's like at the end of the day, I'm like, it's like I'm listening while I'm like, you know, on a run or something like that. So
people see it as like a one-to-one where they say that it's like you're completely working to like push the other original form of content off market. And I think that in certain instances, it can be like that, especially if your input is just like, oh, wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Or not anything at all. But if you're like genuinely providing commentary, like, or I guess in my case, duking it out with chatters who have a very different opinion on the subject matter that I'm looking at.
Yeah.
I mean, the reason why I'm late today is literally because I was watching this lady get arrested by the cops for like doing a prank phone call. And that part of the reason why I got late is because, well, one, my haircut took longer than I expected, but I was meaning to like do coverage on it.
Right.
And heated arguments ensued because people were like defending the cops. And I was like, you're fucking stupid.
Right.
You know, and so that's how you arrive at the pause and obby memes. Where runtime is like three times the original video's runtime. Yeah.
Pick a fucking lane.
I know.
You know what I mean? Like either I'm pausing too much or doing not pausing enough.
Well, most of the people don't watch. They just see the memes and they run with it. So they'll like come into the chat and be like, where's the chair reacts? Why haven't we gotten the chair reacts yet? I'm like, do you not understand what you're saying? Like you came in here you didn't get the expectation. So now you're just like, instead of reconfiguring your perspective on like maybe you were duped into believing something, you're just like, no, I want to see that. But anyway, let's not talk about fucking React. I'm sorry. This is boring.
Oh, no. Yeah. What?
What else do we want? I've actually got a few debate topics to get into.
Let's do it.
Change my mind.
No. DeSantis is cute. He's cool.
Don't agree with that.
No Riz.
I do think genuinely, I think the only chance DeSantis has at having any kind of cultural impact, not winning, but some kind of cultural impact, would be to become really uwu and just become like a little sweetie. Do you remember? I did everything right and they indicted me.
Yeah.
Worked for Trump because he said it in such a cute little voice.
Yeah. I mean, because he is, Trump is very kawaii. He's in many two respects. Ahead.
He has to pivot now. DeSantis just being like, I'm sorry, Disney. Oh, Disney, I'm so sorry.
He did kind of do that. He was like on CNBC. He was like, come on, just drop the court case. I'm done. You know, let bygones be bygones. I was like, dude, you're so cringe.
But if he'd gone, I'm EP. I don't want to do this anymore.
I'm EP.
Come on. You changed your mind, maybe.
This is I feel like you're giving too much free advice.
Oh, yeah. Out of the campaign.
Yeah. You cut that out.
No free feet, no free advice for the Republican campaign.
Oh, God. Ron DeSantis wins.
No. It could all be traced back to this moment.
And I don't get any money.
He's deporting you first.
Yeah. Dude, we've already been through that. Yeah. Yeah. You created your own worst enemy, dude.
Yeah. He doesn't make me leave beforehand.
Yeah. It was very good advice, but now you're gone.
Now I'm not cute anymore.
Yeah. He's got some great ideas. Do you guys talk about politics on this podcast?
If it's interesting.
Yeah, we dabble. I feel like...
I have a no politics rule on mine. That's why I'm asking.
Oh, really?
We try not to talk about any politics
that's,
on my podcast.
I think that's smart considering how much other content there is of you doing politics. Yeah.
I think if there's nothing of value to say as far as what we specifically would think, you know? I think advocating for things we agree with, we'll talk about.
Yeah.
Or if there's something that we see like that's a public take that we... I mean, we just watched the cop slide incident, for example, because it's funny.
Yeah.
But then, like, if somebody were to reply being like, we're trivializing the police, it's actually epic.
We're trivializing police brutality.
Yeah.
That's like... Police are... No.
I mean,
not
we made
police
a stop.
Doing brutal things.
Yeah.
Violence against police.
Yeah. By slides. It's underreported.
Yeah. Like, not police fatalities, but when, like, Scorpion does a fatality on a police officer. Yeah. But we made a stop resisting joke on that. And I saw, like, one person be like... Little soon, don't you think? Soon to what?
Soon to what?
I mean, today I would imagine somewhere.
Also,
probably.
The slide is okay too.
Yeah.
In America, the too soon does not work for mass shootings and police brutality.
Yeah.
Because it's happening every day, three times a fucking day.
Too soon, I just did that.
Yeah.
There are weird things people say to almost like diffuse the ability to have a conversation about it or prevent the ability to have a conversation about it, which is, too soon. You can't talk about that. I don't know.
Yeah, then you can never talk about it because it's never going
to
stop.
I think having a no politics rule makes sense, especially for you, because it just hours of the day.
Yeah.
Like, literally minutes alive.
Because I need to make it different. Like, I already do leftovers with Ethan. That's political.
Yeah.
And, like, I see people complain that it's like, oh, I already heard a song stake on this. And it's like, well, what do you want me to do? I'm a human. Like, there's only so many stories I could cover, and I'm doing it for 10 hours every day. So that's why I was like, I wanted to differentiate it. So we just do drama instead, internal drama.
You could block him.
Right? Oh, yeah.
You guys?
Right? Yeah, and for now, because Elon's getting rid of blocking on Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
What's the consensus? Is that that's actually not viable because of the App Store? I couldn't tell.
Yeah.
App Store terms of service makes it impossible.
For Android,
specifically for Android.
Well, at least that's what...
Apple App Store, too.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah.
Because, okay. But then Linda Yaccarino, the new CEO of X, who we hear from like once a month.
Girl boss.
Was like, actually, we're gonna make a new, better like replacement for blocking. And I don't fully understand what that could possibly be.
They say they're gonna beef up the mute functionality to basically be the block functionality.
Oh.
I think at this point, it's like they're all just like dancing around Elon Musk's whims. Because on a whim, everyone's blocking advertisers. Everyone's blocking all my blue check mark fanboys.
Right.
So how do I solve this? Okay, I'm deleting the block functionality.
Yeah.
He doesn't even think about it. He fucking tweets it out. Or X's it out, whatever
you want to
call
know.
It.
Truth socials it out on Twitter.
So he truths it out. And then everyone's like, oh, you can't do that, dumbass. Like, it's a violation of the term of service. You're going to get deleted off the app store. Like,
and then he's just like, I was kidding, dude.
And then instead of doing that, they're like, oh, we meant something different. Yeah. And then everybody that does deserve to be blocked will go, brilliant move, sir.
Yeah.
Goes, thank you.
Quite the gesture.
Yeah. What was it? Masterful gambit, sir. Yeah. Or whatever. Like, he slams his dick into a car door. Masterful gambit. Yeah, wait, that just reminded me of the Mark Zuckerberg fight too, where he
just
it's like never gonna happen, and he keeps making it seem like Mark is running away from him.
It's so funny that he's saying that, and I don't think even his fucking fanboys believe it.
Yeah, no. Whereas Mark is like, I'm doing this for real, dude. Yeah. I am the BJJ man.
That's fun.
Like,
I don't have any hobbies.
All you do is post another shirtless photo, and it's over. You know what I mean? Elon Musk shirtless looks horrific.
Yeah.
Like a photo of, was it Vulcan Stylebender is just standing next to it in that fucking photo. And he looks incredible. Like, he looks so good. And then everyone was replying, there's a reason weight classes exist. Yeah, he would actually be able to run at him. I don't exactly know what.
I don't know.
No, I don't. I mean, most people have never done any any kind of martial arts or anything. So they're just like talking out of their ass, I think. Like, the amount of cardio necessary for combat sports is insane.
Yeah.
Like, and it's not even transferable to, like, other sports.
Yeah.
Because it's not just cardio, it's technique, and also a tremendous amount of usage of muscle in a very particular way.
Right.
And you get gassed out. That's why, like, rounds don't go, like, that's why rounds are not the same in mixed martial arts or in boxing.
Yeah.
As any other sport.
Yeah, it almost doesn't make sense when you're like watching it, or like if you watch boxing and people are like, why does it look like they're moving in slow motion? And it's like, it's so, you're so gassed. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, I look like that compared to the bottom.
Yeah, you would know. Yeah, dude, freaking.
You're a boxer.
Yeah, dude, I gotta fix my, we talked about this already, but I gotta fix my my nose. I can't breathe through my nose.
Oh, damn.
And it was a big problem for training because my coach was like,
oh, I thought after the fight or something.
No, before. I just threw my out my life.
I was kind of like hoping that would actually fix
I was
it.
Hoping like, yeah, I was like, fingers crossed. I had a asthma attack where I like couldn't breathe, and so I didn't actually take any damage during the fight, which is good, but I do need to get a surgery. I just found out I have sleep apnea, so that's pretty sick.
Confirmed.
Yeah,
thumbs up.
Yeah,
thanks.
That's you need a CPAP machine?
Maybe. I think I have an appointment next week with the actual doctor.
The sleep doctor?
Yeah, the options are like a throat surgery or like a jaw surgery, maybe fixing my deviated septum, maybe CPAP machine. There's like a few different extreme options that I'm like trying I'm going to try to navigate. It's like mild and obstructive, so I think that has to do with like my position, and then it just like stops my ability to breathe. So, okay. So last episode we talked about this guy that we saw when we were at an Airbnb in VidCon. Like we turned on the TV, we were logged into somebody else's YouTube account, and recommended to us was this man trying on a Power Rangers cosplay that it had taken him 5 years to receive because of, I guess, backups during the pandemic and stuff. So he was like, I ordered this in 2017. It just arrived. I had no idea it was like I was even going to get it. And then he's really excited and he tries it on, and slowly the like realization hits that like he can't really see through the mask. He can't really breathe through it.
Sad.
It's kind of sad. But
he is so sweet and like,
yeah, he's like keeping the energy up. He's like, no. But it looks incredible. It's just like, I can't. He's like,
he's a picture perfect Red Ranger. Like, he looks really cool.
See. And we only described this in the video, didn't show any of the visuals. And then on the bonus, we watched it, but also cut out the visuals because I didn't want anybody weird to like go to the guy. And it was just fun to have our guests like react to it. And the guy fucking found the episode. He was like, hey, thanks for talking about it, guys. Maybe. He was such a sweetie about it. So since he's outed himself, I want to shout out the World of Ha. He's the man. He is the Red Ranger. Respect.
I feel like you maybe not even really requesting it. You've got a very impressionable audience just through the size and influence that you have. Not like your demographic's super impressionable as people, but you just have a large audience.
Yeah. I mean, no matter what happens, like, there's always going to be some people there. Yeah.
Do you feel weird about, like, the Sad Boys demographic has never really been, they haven't harassed anyone. Like, we've not had experience of that. But I just, it, that thing was, no.
Get your money up. Dude. Yeah.
My fear is always.
Get your licks in.
It's not. Yeah.
You gotta go harass someone first.
Yeah, that a Tyler, the Creator concert, I don't know.
Like. I like people finding, there's like a handful of creators with like 900 followers or something that I love. I think they're so, with super niche interests and like weird hobbies, mm-hmm. but it's not laughing at. It is absolutely laughing, and like they're so passionate and joyful and pretty cute.
Right,
and
you're laughing with them, but it would be hard to communicate that to an audience.
I think if I sent 100 people, yeah, 60 no. would be mean in a way they don't even know they're doing it.
Yeah, I usually don't do that for that reason. Yeah. I like, there are definitely people where I have a don't tap the glass policy where I tell them like, listen, you can look at something, you just can't try to interact with it, please.
Don't ruin it.
And no matter how much I stress that, people still end up going there. Like when we were watching MasterChef back in the day, mm-hmm. like there was some real freaks. Like they would get, like there was this dude named Cutter and he was like this right wing guy.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And like some of the haters of mine who are like obsessively watching would go there and be like, this guy's talking shit about you. Like they would write it in his like Instagram post. Like, go check out this guy's like profile. He's talking shit about you. You should like sue him. Mm. It's like, why are you doing that?
Yeah. That sucks.
That's why I have to be extra careful too. Yeah. Like I don't just have like fans who will react right. in a certain way.
Sure.
I have
people
who will even portray themselves as fans to go in there and like do some fucked up shit.
Yeah.
You probably got them as well. For a little while after finishing Black White, we were getting Rose, the daughter. We would get Rose's Instagram sent, like, and she has this podcast.
And it's like we like don't want
that.
Yeah.
Also, the show is 500 years old.
And yeah, you're sending me like an Instagram. There are too many people who are like, yeah, it's the best. We still haven't watched the last episode. it's because we were going to wait till Jordan was back in the States to do it. So I've got it on DVD on the bookshelf. So.
I love that. I showed it to JPEG Mafia.
Oh yeah, really?
I loved it so much. Like I watched it. It was like a big meme. And you guys know like all the details, right?
Oh yeah.
You know that like the makeup artist got an Emmy.
Yeah,
for the blackface.
Yeah,
and rightly so.
And then also went on to work for the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
There's also the
Falcon's actually white.
Do you know if
they use the makeup?
Do you know about the Oprah episode that's been scrubbed from history?
Oh wait, is it the N-word one?
No, it's called we had to look this up before. I can't remember the title of the episode. It was a stupid pun about changing race. Oh, changing races is the name of the article.
Oh, I think I might have seen
it. Yeah, it's like there's an archived article from Oprah's website of an episode that Oprah's people were like, you got it. This has to go away. But she had on the cast of Black White, and they there's a GIF that is still archived where they did a what will your race look like in different like you put Oprah's face in it and then it's Oprah like flipping through a bunch of different races. Yeah, it's wild.
That's awesome.
I always love that interpretation of you defeat racism by doing the funniest possible version of racism. The fucking, I mean, Black White also, we talked about it, I think, when we reacted to it. Whiteface technology is so underdeveloped.
Whiteface
technology has been cooking literally since the 20s.
It's like, yeah, Dave Chappelle, like it hasn't changed since the Chappelle show.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Yeah. It, like, everyone looks like...
they put powder on.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of powder on their faces.
Which ties into me getting canceled on Twitter.
Yes! That's right. I texted him. I woke up at 4 a.m. because I had to take Kaya out to pee. And, of course, because I'm brain broken, I immediately went on Twitter. And I'm getting all these notifications, and I looked at one of them, I clicked on it, and my response to you had like 12,000 likes, and I was like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
I was right.
You know what's funny is like, I deleted it because of...
Oh, you did?
Just because it had reached a point where I wasn't gaining anything from it. This happened to one
Fatigue,
of our...
maybe,
This happened to one of our Jordan Peterson shorts where we were very clearly making fun of Jordan Peterson, and then it only got recommended to Jordan Peterson fans. And so we saw no like upside from it, no subscriptions, no listens, just a bunch of like hate interactions. And so...
Delete them on all platforms or just the... TikTok,
honestly, I think just YouTube Shorts because that was the most that was the white supremacy accelerator or whatever. And no, so the tweet, like, you know, had a good ratio. You know what I mean?
Pull it up right on.
No, I don't want to do that.
It was when I woke up to see it at 4 a.m. It had 77,000 likes.
Yeah, it had like 80 some odd thousand likes.
My response to it, my response to it was when it was at like 1,000 likes, replied and said, this tweet 100% is going to leave the intended audience.
And I knew that, but I was surprised by how like uncharitable people are about, like, I just hit the side of the internet, and I want to sort of say that it's valid to have this opinion, but like some black people view any depiction of blackface as like irredeemable regardless of context. And I was tweeting a joke about, so for context, there was a tweet yesterday about, and this is the other thing, is like, this is going to now like live on without the context of this moment, which is whatever. But there was this Judy Garland tweet where someone discovered that Judy Garland, when she was 17 years old, was in this movie where she was in blackface and doing like the sort of racist caricature.
And being horrifically abused throughout the process.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Which so, I think led to her death, right?
I don't know.
100%. Actually, I do know. A lot of amphetamine abuse, a lot of drug abuse was happening.
For sure. That was even happening during Wizard of Oz and during all this stuff.
Yeah, she's a child star in the only time that was even worse to be a child star than now.
Yeah. And so someone was tweeting like this cancellation tweet for Judy Garland where they're like, essentially they're like, this is thanks to Gen Z for showing me this.
Yikes, honey, not a good look.
Yeah, and it was like it was like her doing blackface as like, I think 13.
At the age of
13.
I think
and not writing and directing the production.
Like,
I put that in the same category as like the person who was like thinking that little Tay was assassinated or something.
Yeah.
And then was like, I just found out that little Tay might be murdered. And then I found out she said the N-word. So now I don't care anymore.
Yeah.
And I was like, this. What do you mean? She was 9. Mean?
Yeah. So right.
It's take poisoning. Like, I have to say something until I guess I have to
hate it. And people will turn around and be like, oh yeah, so it's okay to say the N-word at 9? It's like, no, she's 9, which means someone was making her say it.
Yeah.
Get mad at the right person, not the 9-year-old, you fucking freak.
I mean, shit, man. Kinda. Like, more than as an adult.
It's like so mind-boggling that we have this, like, incredibly, like, black or white, for lack of a better word.
Binary, approach, let's say.
Binary approach to, like, a racist act has occurred. Let's not investigate it further to understand, like, if the perpetrator was fucking 9. Like, why are there any laws around additional protections for minors if we are not operating under the assumption that they don't know what the fuck they're doing?
Right.
Like, it's the parents that are at fault.
It's like if a child was working at like an unethical role.
Yeah.
And like, oh, like they're working on a battery farm. It's like, wow, yikes. 2-year-old child that they put in the
It's really cages. Fucked up.
So,
the racism factory, which Judy Garland was working at.
Yeah.
Founded, age one.
Yeah.
So I sort of tweeted a parody of this tweet, basically with the same structure of Ken Jeong from Community, who...
A show you didn't make.
A show...
We should mention.
A show that I...
you didn't make Community?
One of my greatest regrets, actually.
Yeah.
Dan Harmon called me up when I was 14 years old. And he said,
I don't think that's
going to
work.
Yeah. I was like, I just don't think anyone cares about Community College.
He called you up for that episode only.
Yeah.
And you were like, I'm 14 and I love
And I'm in. And I signed me up. So in the episode, Advanced Dungeons and Dragons, it's one of the greatest episodes of Community, but one of the elements of it is Ken Jeong's character comes in what's the word?
Drow, yeah.
Well, yeah, is that how you say it? It's like drow.
He's like a night elf. So.
Yeah, so he's a night elf, and he says that he's a night elf.
Yeah.
But his skin is painted like pitch black with white hair, which is like, if you look at fan art or if you look at like artist depictions of this character, it's like, that's what it is.
Yeah, in some kinds they are just pitch black.
Yeah, and so the show is having him do this. And then there's a side joke about, you know, Shirley's character says, are we just going to ignore that hate crime? And then he immediately like gets killed and leaves.
The joke is how not okay what he's doing yes. is.
And so there are, and so to me, I was saying, also the fact that they, you know, the show is criticizing blackface in, or criticizing the, like the use of, it was saying blackface is bad. Yeah. And
a brave take.
Yeah. And so, the fact that that episode got taken off of streaming services, yeah. I was a little bit, you know, critiquing that as also a surface level take of this thing. And that was the joke, to take a surface level thing. Obviously, but jokes are not allowed on Twitter. Comedy is not legal now.
You use this like weird parody, you said it was?
Yeah, parody.
That's when it's real and you mean it?
But okay, yeah. Listen.
Right. So, and you want it to happen to everyone else.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
So what I will say though, is that there are some people who believe that like there is no way to use blackface in a way that can even criticizing blackface's use in media by using blackface is bad. Like some people believe this, and I don't want to debate the merits of that, but I found myself sort of there was a small quote tweet. It didn't have a lot of likes, but it was like enough people where I'm sure you get this all the time and you're numb to it, where people were just like, oh yeah, the white half really jumped out on this one.
Oh yeah, I saw that one.
Glad I finally or never watched this show, or oh, he doesn't have any black friends. So I stopped watching his videos. And I was like, this is so, I like looked at people's profiles and I was like, these are teenagers.
Yeah, no.
They're like so young.
Yeah, when you see like a it's not an anime, I don't know what it is. It's like a different kind of art. Like when you see that immediately, I'm like, this is either like a racist pedophile,
right?
Or, well, usually it'll be like a person of color,
yeah,
like, is a character. So then yeah. I immediately know, oh, this is like a kid, like this right. is like a 14-year-old,
yeah,
you know, Zoomer, 14-year-old teenager who's like really invested in like whatever the show is,
right? Yeah, and watching. So that type of thing is so interesting to me because. It's almost like they don't have object permanence. Like if they haven't seen me, they've probably only seen me hang out with content creators and other people who have an audience and not like, you know, actual like, and I do collaborate with black creators. We've had like, it's just like a not true thing. Right. Sure.
But it's so much less fun to chirp about.
But it's so much less fun. Yeah. 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 And so, but it kind of hits on these things of like, the sort of, you know, we did an episode many years ago about like, are you black enough? Where it's like, there's so much of like wanting to take someone's blackness away where I like did not, it's like, I found out I had a white father from a DNA test, you know, when I was 28 or something. Like I didn't know white people growing up. And so for someone to like project this a experience on me that I didn't go through and so confidently like spout it out is a, it's such an internet thing.
Yeah.
And I was like, I just don't want any part of this. I'm no longer gaining anything from this.
I got a lot of flack for even responding.
Really?
Which I didn't even say anything like positive about. Like, I just said it's definitely going to go out of the target audience. Yeah. Like it's leaving the intended audience immediately.
Yeah.
And people are like, of course Hassan is in here advocating for white supremacy.
Right.
Yeah. And I was like, hell yeah. I know. That's my shit. I love that.
It's so odd.
Thank you. So Nick came on. We do tea time with Nick. And he just shows me TikTok tea because he's a TikTok tea guy. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows this. He's never done anything before that. And he's never done anything after.
Nope.
He's a TikTok tea guy.
He's a cyber bully.
Yeah.
Anybody you don't like is actually his best friend.
Yeah. So he came on the stream and he showed me these girls. They were trying to be J-pop idols.
Oh.
Betty-chan was the number one.
I think I've seen this.
The number one lady.
He's like kids?
They're not kids. They're like young adults. They're right, like in their 20s. But they're still young. And they want to be J-pop idols. And it's like cute, but it's also very cringe at the same time. But a big part of what I talk about always is like how insane and unhinged people get on TikTok and on Twitter and like immediately dox people, which these people had been doxed.
No.
Right? So like on the one hand, we were just like joking and making jokes about how cringe they were. But also on the other hand, we were like, how insane. Like, please do not. Like,
yeah.
I can't believe people dox these people. It's crazy. So what ended up happening is, you know, I ended the stream, and then the next day I found out that like people were canceling me and Nick, saying that we were responsible for the demise of this J-pop idol group. And I thought it was very strange, especially because these tweets were getting like hundreds of thousands of likes. Like, you know, people were like, fuck these, you know, guys, like these people are just like having fun. Oh, you think everything is cultural appropriation? I never even said that. You know what I mean? And that's when I realized, like, I mean, I've known this already, but a good defense mechanism for when you get like hate online, a good way to realize that it's not real and it doesn't really translate to anything in the real world is, can you describe it to like a bus driver? You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Can you describe it? Like, can I describe this to my brother who is, you know, a dude who builds satellites?
Yeah, yeah.
Like anybody that's brain is not like radiated.
Yeah. Like he's just like, he has a private Instagram account,
right,
with like 30 followers.
Right.
Can I describe the situation in like under a minute?
Yeah.
To
him?
Yeah. You know? No. If the answer is fuck no,
yeah,
then it's like insanely idiotic and it's just gonna go away. It's not a real thing. It
right.
feels so real in that moment. Yeah. Where you're like, these people hate me.
Yeah.
And then you realize like, oh no, they're like genuinely mentally ill people out there. And you can't really tell because they're online and they have an anonymous account and other genuinely mentally ill people are clicking like. It's that easy. It doesn't take any effort or time.
Yeah.
So and you can't think too much about it.
They think so passively that they also retain really passively. So if you ask in a month, like, do you remember that Hassan and yeah. stuff? They'll just go like, oh, they killed someone?
Yeah.
Something
yeah.
happened, I don't remember, but I do care.
No, one of my friends had one of these things happen where they got caught up in some super viral tweet thing where everyone was saying that they were racist. Mm-hmm. And the leader of this stan group that caused this, a year later, DM'd them and was like, hey, I'm sorry for all that trouble I caused. I actually have become a really big fan. And he was like, you ruined my, like,
oh,
like
yeah.
my mental health was in shambles because he was pretty young at the time.
Yeah.
And it was like his first entanglement with that sort of situation. And it made me feel like he obviously felt really shitty about it, but I felt shitty too because I remember talking to him through that.
Yeah.
And it's.
He's talked about it now in retrospect and like. He's compartmentalized it kind of now because he's older and seen more of it.
Yeah.
But like, I think if you're socialized on Discord, you just don't understand the stakes of like humanity. Yeah. Like, you don't understand what it's like to say something not with hyperbole, to just be like a human being.
Yeah.
And so when somebody seems upset, I don't know why it took a year for this person to just be like, oh, wait, sorry, that was fucked.
That's yeah. actually kind of cool that person literally tried to make amends in a weird way.
Yeah, they bought merch.
Yeah. That usually never happens.
Yeah, it was wild.
Can I be kind of fucking cynical about that?
Oh.
They're no longer getting attention from that. They are going to, I mean, they're literally, I mean, we don't know their name, but we are talking about them now on a podcast as like, it's like when fucking Rush Limbaugh was like doing his redemption tour or whatever. And it's like.
He was?
I didn't know. Rush Limbaugh, the Glenn Beck.
Oh, Glenn Beck
did his lot, and all the like. It was like, wow, he's a lib now. He's like connecting with all. Yeah. It's because he doesn't get anything else. So now I'll just like. That's me being very
attention.
Cynical,
attention certainly is a big factor in it because people want to feel we're hyper alienated, we're hyper isolated. The society is super atomized, and you want to feel a sense of belonging. And when you engage in this kind of behavior, where you're like, yeah, fuck that guy, I hate that guy. You're so right. And you click like on it, or you try to fire off your own viral quote retweet.
Yeah,
like there's a shared purpose there, and you get some semblance of like social cohesion,
right?
And it's something that we desperately seek out. It's like we're social animals, right? Yeah. So it's really unfortunate, but I just kind of look at it now because I've been quote unquote canceled.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking bullshit. It's not real.
Yeah.
So many times, a lot more than all of your favorite content creators out there that you think have been canceled way more times, I promise you.
You did everything right and they canceled you.
What?
I
did everything right and they canceled me.
This
it doesn't mean anything at the end of the day.
The best example of this, that I can recently think of is the song Planet of the Bass, which did you see? They performed the song at the Jonas Brothers concert and everyone was confused. The moment this like hyper online thing was now in a real place with real people, you're forced to look.
And it's
look.
The perfect demographic. Like, yeah, it's, the you would Jonas think. Brothers concert is literally like 30-year-olds that, you know, love the Jonas Brothers from when they were popping. Like,
yeah, I mean, and they also continue to pop. Like they've been having, you know, since the return together, they've popped.
Damn,
they
had a few records. Head?
No. But they went. They had. I was defending it quite.
No.
Listen, hold on. All right, let's get into it.
Jones Radio, is a scholar of this era.
The year is, I don't know, 2000, mid 2000s. I'm listening to Radio Disney. I've got Good Night and Goodbye blasting on my iPad.
Chris Kyle's alive.
My iPod.
It's a great
no,
time.
But what was that song that they had? It was like a top 10. Sucker. Wasn't that top 10 on Billboard?
It's not my ear.
Oh.
In America.
Sorry. Sorry. Yeah,
I wasn't in America.
No.
This is a recent song.
This is what I'm talking. It's like very recent. Like the Jonas Brothers like got back together and then they've had like top 10 hits.
Oh,
like,
is it the one with like, ooh, there's those little like.
Yeah. But anyway, the whole point is. Yeah. When was this? What year was Sucker?
Oh, this one.
2019. Yeah.
Damn.
No. So they like came back. Yeah, and they
number one on Hot 100.
And they had some big. Yeah, number one on the Hot 100. Like, okay. So I'm just saying they've had modern hits.
Have you seen to jump on what you were saying before, the clip of Ninja flossing in like 2020?
Yeah.
It's like this was huge, and no one has any idea what he's doing. Everyone, like the ball's going down. They're like that. Okay, man. Shit.
Yeah, it's like it's on the internet, like. Really niche communities can have massive followings, and that truly warps our sense of like how actually popular they are in mainstream. Right. An example I used when I was talking about this exact same thing the other day was the one that you just talked about, the Jonas Brothers concert, where like when something that is like hyper specific but like really popular seemingly online on Twitter or elsewhere, in the real world could be totally just like confusing to the average person, because they're like, what the fuck is this shit? Another example is like XQC is super popular online and super popular on Twitch, one of the most popular Twitch streamers, but like if we're walking down the street, the likelihood that someone is going to recognize me over him is infinitely higher because of the nature of the content that I create and like the accessibility of it in comparison to what he does.
Yeah.
Obviously it's like different demographics as well too, but I guess the point I'm trying to make is, you know, once you start getting death threats regularly, you're not gonna worry about it anymore.
Right, mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, I think I muted a lot of words like right when I first got in the game, and I haven't seen a lot of like hate crimey stuff, but I think it's because I muted those words, because I did used to get it a fair amount.
I hope Elon destroys the mute button next.
Yeah,
the muted words.
He's like, gets rid of muted words.
You have to see the bum fights.
Everything. Dude.
These videos go hard.
Yeah. My whole Twitter feed is like snuff films. Yeah. It's like,
that's so crazy.
Hey, this like watch a guy die.
Yeah.
Like crazy clips or whatever.
Yeah. They're like, you have to see live leak shit.
Yeah.
His idea of running a social media platform is awesome.
He's the weirdest man, dude.
And then even if you were some kind of psycho that wanted to see those videos, the replies, that's the worst thing is replies now. It's ruined.
Replies are bad.
I left more good replies to interesting tweets than the tweets themselves. And now my thumb starts cramping. I'm spinning past a bunch of people that called like the intellectual marble man or something.
It is the dumbest people. Because like, who would have thought people who are stupid enough to pay $8 are not going to have the best takes to be boosted in your replies.
You win the internet today, good sir.
It's so bad.
This one made me LMAO.
I read this in your voice.
Going through that and ads and sponsored tweets in a reply thread, it's just like destroyed the app.
Yeah.
But I don't want to talk about that app anymore because it makes me sad. I want to talk about One Piece, which is my new favorite thing.
Hell yeah.
Listen, brother, I've busted out some of my old Shonen Jump. So I used to get these when I was a kid. We have this, it's become a Sad Boys Sad Boys inside joke now, but when I was a child and I never actually read One Piece in these because I was more of a Dragon Ball guy. Mm-hmm. I had a friend come over and he was looking at this logo and I was like, oh yeah, Nepic, it's great. Because as a child, I didn't notice that, you know.
Oh my God.
Yeah. But I've been.
You've been an Epic fan now.
You've been vindicated.
I've been vindicated because, you know, at the end of like One Piece manga, there's like a Q&A with Oda.
Uh-huh.
That question has come up.
Oh, really?
Someone was like, something Nepic. And he's like, it's funny how little boys and girls like don't recognize the letters. And I was like, yeah, that was me. But
this is on you, old man.
I don't know if we talked about it really last episode, but we went to Curtis and Jenna's wedding reception. They're one in Canada. And on the like 6 hours of flights there and back, I speed read through One Piece. So I'm now at like chapter 130.
Oh wow, you passed me. What are you at now? Like Wano or something?
I'm before Alabasta, like right after
Oh, never mind. You're nowhere near. No, I'm way past you.
Yeah, there's like 1,000-some-odd chapters. And yeah, I'm was 10% in. Yeah,
I thought it was like okay. I recently got the mangas. Mm. I burned through the anime all the way to a time skip, which I'm sure you've heard.
I've heard about a time skip.
Yeah. So and then the pacing gets really awful after that for the next arc. Which is when I was like, I have to buy the mangas. I can't do this anymore. I've talked about it quite a bit. One Piece fandom will immediately recognize that, but it's really good. So you're at Alabasta.
So they just left.
I just don't want to spoil anything. Yeah,
Whiskey Peak is just finishing. They're leaving with like Princess Vivi or whatever to like get to Alabasta. So that's where I'm at.
I've been trying to jump back because it's been like a decade since I read any One Piece.
Oh yeah.
I'm having the same issue I'm having with Berserk, where I've read like hours and hours of Berserk. Picking it up again now, I'll jump into a random chapter in the future and be like, oh, this is nothing I know, jump back again.
Yeah.
And I read five chapters and be like, no, I have seen that's this.
I hate this that. Is. Yeah, that was like my big ADHD experience reading as a child, where I would like reread things over and over again because I didn't know. Like, you're an ADHD haver, right?
Mm-hmm.
When did you get diagnosed?
Laugh at him.
When did you get diagnosed?
The real victims of society. Nobody talks about our plight.
Everything we've been through.
Yeah.
Yeah. When did you, like, learn that you had it, though?
When I came to America, 2009.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Because I found out, like, a couple years ago, and it, like, sort of made my whole life make sense. But what was that like for you?
But how old? That's for college, right? Yeah. So you are an adult.
Yeah, I mean, I was 18. I don't know. I have a really weird approach to ADHD where I just feel like it's just a thing. You know what I mean?
I don't think that's weird. I think that's pretty
normal. Well, people get really touchy about it where they're like, I feel like people, like ADHD Twitter at least, or ADHD havers are a little bit sensitive about the way it's portrayed. Like, it's I don't think it's as debilitating in general. I mean, depending on the severity, of course.
Yeah,
I don't think it's as debilitating as, like, you know, not having, like, not being able to see, for example.
Yeah. I don't think, you never want to play that comparison game, but
but it's just like I've figured out ways to develop healthy habits,
right?
And like build a really regimented, very rigid work structure that I have to follow to a T, by the way.
Yeah.
Or else like everything around me falls apart, certainly. But I figured out methods of dealing with it.
I think that bothers people. I think when people feel underrepresented about anything, they are more fervent about who their advocates are and like who their avatars are.
Yeah.
So if you don't do it right, like not a lot of podcasters of color. If we're black wrong, we're in deep shit. And dude, like ADHD especially, I've got a lot of feedback. I've talked very publicly about like what my medication is and how it bounces out and stuff like that. My meds help a lot, but I can actively, like my chosen quality of life, the things I do have control over are a huge part of it. And people don't like that. They do not want to hear that. Instead, they want to kind of give the responsibility only to their medical care, which don't, and then other people will be like, no, it's only working harder and only having willpower and sleeping well or whatever.
Yeah, no, it's not that. I think it's a bit of both.
It can be a composite. Yeah. Like that's same with everything.
Yeah.
You have to eat well to get stronger, but you also need to work out to get stronger.
Yeah, the big one for me, I talk about this a lot, is like rejection-sensitive dysphoria. Are you familiar with this?
What is that?
Okay. I want to describe this to you and see if it's like something that you've experienced. So I, like throughout my life, will sometimes feel like this intense feeling of rejection where like I'm being like maybe it's a moment of high stress and I want to like impress somebody and then my credit card declines and then I go, oh, they must think I'm really like dumb and bad and poor. Or on Twitch chat when like I'm fiddling with the audio settings and the audio doesn't work and then everybody's complaining at me, mm-hmm. and then I feel like everyone in tandem is mad at me, and then it can like make my brain go into this like sulky like shut off mode, or like really defensive like mode where I like want to but whatever it is, it's like this feeling of intense rejection. For some people it manifests in like really bad mood. For me, that's more it. For other people it can manifest as physical pain, but it, not everyone with ADHD has it. It's just like there's a, it's like a comorbidity or whatever. It's like a, just a thing that exists with it. But that was something where I got sent a paper about it from a doctor, and I was like, oh, this is like why I would be kind of quiet in high school when my friends would make fun of me past my threshold. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like I'd be like, oh, okay, everyone really does hate me now. But yeah, there's
that. I just thought that was, I don't know, normal. I feel that way too, but I don't know.
I think it's a scope thing with mental health, where like people look into potentially having depression and then they go like, no, but everyone's sad. Yeah. It doesn't matter. It's the same thing, you know, and it's just more severe, I think.
Yeah.
Do you think that has an impact on streaming at all? I mean, you got a lot of chirping voices.
Yes and no. I feel like my ADHD probably helps a lot in many respects, because like I can move from subject to subject matter with ease without even, you know, thinking about it right at all. And ultimately I feel like that is probably good in a weird way for people to like constantly stay on and like constantly mm-hmm. be like, what's he gonna do next? Like, right. What is he gonna cover next? Like, what are we gonna talk about next?
So having Subway Surfers playing at the bottom.
Pretty much. Else, like, yeah. It's just like, I think there is definitely that element to it. But I've never like really explored the depths of that at all. Partially because I guess like I'm a bit of a boomer in that sense, where I feel like I don't want to hyper-medicalize everything, like every facet of existence, because I think that it's not necessarily like dampening it or refusing to reckon with it or acknowledge it necessarily, but like I feel like working to overcome it without being super hard on yourself has been a healthy coping mechanism for me in you know, living my life without thinking about it too much.
I do think that's really healthy. I think like not being hard on yourself is like a big key. And
my shit is the worst of is just like I'm in the pocket when I'm doing this. Mm-hmm. The way I describe it is like I get a sense of euphoria and calmness from streaming, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. where no matter what is going on, no matter how chaotic my life is, when I press the start streaming button, mm-hmm. everything around me stops and I'm laser focused. You know, I'm hyper focused on like trying to entertain 30,000 people for 10 hours of the day. And that gives me, one, a sense of purpose, but also it makes me very, even if I'm like having a tough time on stream or if I'm angry or whatever, it creates a quiet in the world around me. Same with like being on a podcast or speaking. But social settings, for example, unless I'm like goal oriented in some way, I have a really hard time staying on track. I have a really hard time staying on track. I have a really hard time paying attention. People, like, I do a lot of stuff that people consider rude, and I don't mean to be.
Yeah.
And that is probably the worst aspect of it for me, is like in social settings, everyone always is like, I'm already like an intimidating looking person. So, I think I probably come across very rude and abrasive to a lot of people at first.
Or one of those like subtly, I don't think Hassan likes me. Like,
That was my take. I think when we first met,
it's not like that at all. Like, that's
no, but I think because we have mutual friends, I think I was able to like say like, I kind of got this weird vibe, but then maybe that's just how they are. And then they were like, don't worry about it.
That's what everyone says. Everyone's always like, no, he's a sweetheart. But like at first you're going to, that's what my friends always, will always qualify my first interactions with everyone else. They'll be like, no, don't worry. he's not like this. He's just, you know, he's actually a really nice guy. He just, it will at first come across like he's rude.
No, but
which is not good.
I think, I don't remember when we met, but I think I did have like a little faith in it, just because they, how many friends can we share before I just kind of assume that it would be fine, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I hate one friend that all my friends have. He's like weirdly mean or something.
But I really relate to the, if I don't have a goal.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I feel like in social situations, I'm like scrambling to find the recipe, the program, the like flow chart of like of the social interaction if I don't already have it.
What's the utility of this?
Yeah, because my favorite thing to do is host, because then I always have something to be doing. You know what I mean? I can just bounce from person to person. Or if I bring my dog to something, I always have something to tend to, where I'm like, oh yeah, this isn't weird. I'm just like making sure my dog is cool. I'm not antisocial.
I think somebody, maybe it was like a Q&A or something. Somebody messaged me recently and they were, oh no, it was the fucking photo shoot we were at yesterday.
Oh yeah.
One of the questions on it was, we did like a little 23 questions wander around. And one of the questions they asked was like, why do you and Jarvis start the podcast? What's the context? And I'm like, I think we just wanted a reason to hang out. And
that's real.
It was always after work when we were still working at Patreon. And there's a fatigue, especially now in retrospect with the like scatteredness of unmedicated so-and-so. I would get home and I'd be so burned, be so fried. You'd come over, we'd sit down, mics on. It was, 7 years ago or something?
Yeah.
And it's just fine now for some reason. And I still can't really articulate why. It's like a mix of adrenaline and also, like you said, like streamlining everything around you.
I think we like being on camera. We like entertaining.
Right. Especially like, I don't know about you, but like collaborating for me is a different experience than doing something solo. Like streaming, because there's like a feedback loop with chat and stuff, it kind of feels a little bit like collaborating. But when I'm doing my normal job, if I'm like scripting or something, I need like someone holding my hand. Mm-hmm. Like our producer Anastasia will just sit on Zoom with me and not even say anything, but like while I'm like writing, you know, just so that I have somebody there, or like going to a coffee shop with somebody, or even going to a coffee shop in general was better for me. Like when I used to live in San Francisco and I could just like walk down the street, because my brain that always wants to, I have like FOMO brain where I'm like, oh, am I missing out on some sort of experience I should be having? If I'm at a coffee shop and everybody's working, I'm like, right, this is like a normal thing to do. Like this is, the social proof is around me.
Do you get like an adrenaline drop right after you stop streaming? Or does it kind of carry? You just go to bed?
I think when I stop streaming, my brain is mush for like the first.
Sure.
Especially when I first started streaming, like I would literally have like an hour refractory period where I was just like, if you say something to me, it's gonna bounce off my dome. I'm not gonna hear it. Like nowadays, not so much, but again, every aspect of my life is regimented. I'm done streaming. I am either going to take my dog to the park and then play basketball with friends, or I am going to eat dinner, walk my dog, and then watch anime for the rest of the night.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? I have like a show that I'm going to watch.
Right.
Doing something like that after you've accomplished the thing you're going to do.
Yeah. Oof. So for me, it's like I don't have a single moment in the day that goes to waste.
That feels very much like not it feels like a coping strategy, but it feels like a healthy thing to do for like, it feels like you found the healthy thing to do for the kind of brain that you have.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Like
yeah.
I wake up every day at the same time. I eat pretty much the same meals. I tweak it around a little bit, but like I will eat the same exact meal at the same exact time for 6 months to 8 months on end, without getting bored of it and loving it. Like it's the first time I'm having it. And then one day I'll be like, I'm disgusted by this food now. I can't eat this.
Yeah.
And then I switch it. And then for another 6 months, I eat the same thing. And like obviously I let loose every now and then, you know, I have dinners and whatnot. But overall, like literally every single day, my training, my reading and also the podcast I'm listening to like try to keep up to date with what's going on, my research time, it's always the same every single day. For a lot of people, when they hear that, they go, that's insane. How the fuck do you live like that? That sounds awful. I love it.
Yeah,
because I've lived on this planet when I didn't do that, and I did not like existing like that. It was way too chaotic.
Right.
This is also chaotic, but I thrive in this chaos because it's like organized in a way that I want it to be.
Each stage of the chaos ends. I like that. Like my GCal is obsessive. I just like having things adjacent. Not having that little space where I'm like, is this when I shower? What do I do? I shower at this time.
Yeah.
And that way I know that I've missed it or I will at least at some point do it. That's one of the reasons I like doing the podcast so much versus like BB, who's currently wrangling the dogs.
They've quieted down. They probably petered out.
She's been helping me out with a bunch of production stuff. And I've been putting off recording an ad for 2 weeks. It was due like the following day.
Oh yeah, I hate that. Is the worst part about it.
But recording with her on the phone, done, easy, immediately. And my video still isn't finished.
That's really interesting because it's like I'm gonna think about that. I might take advantage of that and like try to get help in that regard because there are a lot of things that I just like always put off, and I will never do it. I will never ever like. Like parking tickets. It sounds so basic and it's just like, it's literally going to take 10 seconds.
Yeah.
And I just will not do it. And it just piles up for a year.
Yeah. I mean, I remember putting off like when my insurance changed, like this is years ago, I was a Patreon. I remember putting off a doctor's appointment for like 6 months that I really needed to like go check out. And then when I finally did it, the call took 90 seconds.
Oh, yeah.
And that, juxtaposition felt insane to me. But, like, it was so hard for my brain to get over that that hump.
I am still, right now, I think about 40% of my brain has been taken up with this, what feels like the worst, biggest obligation. And part of it's the trauma associated with it. But I have a tiny, tiny 5 minutes, 10 minutes maximum task to do for my visa application.
Oh,
the current visa is amongst the most important things in my entire life right now, because there's only X amount of time left. Every day I wake up and I go, wow, this could be the last August 10th of my time in America. You know, it is front of mind all the time. I wake up thinking about it, go to sleep thinking about it. I have done for years at this point. I have to update my resume for the application. The resume is ready. And
it's a devastating
task. I have to write it. I have to update it. I have to like change a couple dates and alter this.
No, I totally get it.
It's been 7 weeks.
It sounds like such a simple thing, and it really is a simple thing, but I totally understand.
Well, as simple as easy, right? Like they're not quite the same. And sometimes a hard thing is very easy because you can just focus on it.
Yeah, I get it. But the worst part about it is it weighs on you.
Yeah.
It being always in the back of your mind constantly. Yeah. I have to get new parking passes. It's been like a year and a half. I'm still working on the old parking passes. And I'm hoping that the fucking parking people know the car and won't ticket it.
Right.
Sometimes they do.
Yeah.
They started targeting my car recently. And my brother's always in my house. So he's always taking my car out and putting it in the fucking, taking it out of the driveway. So now it's like I have to get it. It's been a year and a half and it's just not that difficult of a task. I just got to make a phone call. I got to go there and like deal with it. I've done it before, but it's just I just keep pushing it back and it just like It's like a bag that I'm carrying right. with me everywhere I go.
It sucks. Yeah, cause it sucks because it is so simple to like get rid of in theory, right?
But then you can't do it.
Right. The term for what me and Jordan were both describing is body doubling, and I couldn't fucking remember it, so I had to look it up. But body doubling, it's like when you, it's like an ADHD coping strategy, which is just like having someone present like while you're doing another thing.
It is very like, I've always pursued really, really regimented self-care and like house care, especially keeping space tidy, clean, etc. I've always liked the idea of, wow, I just finished my dish directly in the dishwasher, so-and-so. This is my first time living with someone. Me and Ethan is online, live together up the way because we moved back to LA at the same time. I always do it now. The fact that there's someone that will see it, or not even judge me for it, but it's going to inconvenience them, or we're going to run out of dishes, and Ethan, you know, my son, my little son, he's not going to have anything to eat. And now it's, I don't know what it is. There is like this unconscious, maybe it's partially a kindness, but also just a responsibility thing. I also know how miserable I'll be with, once there's a bowl on my desk, there's going to be 40 in like a few days. And then they can spiral. I have to stop it. I have to cut the hydra's head off like and burn
it. Right away. No, 100%. It's very quick to like unwind right. and then have all of that fall apart.
Yeah, I've had that happen like a number of just like simple things that change. Like if you move or you have like a trip or something that like throws everything out of whack, getting back into the regiment, I think it's like the hardest, like that critical period. It's like if I don't get it back immediately, then we're in uncharted waters.
It's bookended too, right? Like right before we went to Canada, I was useless.
Yeah, that's the other thing. I hate trips for that reason, which is why when I do have a trip coming up, I make sure that I have my streaming schedule set up.
Yeah.
When I went to Japan, I streamed 6 to 8 hours every single day when I was in Japan.
I was impressed.
Yeah.
That's like, it sounds like you can't quit, but what it really is, you need the regimen to keep,
No, it's everything else that would get shitty.
But it still fucks up a lot of other stuff. Like I didn't work out, you know what I mean? I didn't follow on my diet and then all of that stuff falls apart and then I feel shitty about it and then it makes it even worse. It makes it even worse and harder to recover from. But, you know, at the end of the day, at least when I come back, because I've had this routine for so long, almost 4 years now.
Yeah.
That immediately I'm like, as soon as I touch down on U.S. soil, I go and I train with my trainers at 8 a.m. the next morning.
Ooh.
And then I'm back in it. I just like, you know.
The template. You don't spend a single day off.
Yeah. So no, it doesn't I can't.
Yeah, we want to go.
I love Japan. Point.
Yeah.
It's the best.
Yeah, I got to figure it out. I'm technically on a certain point where I shouldn't leave the country. Once the application's processing or whatever. But I think what I need to explain to them is that I have a katana already and I don't know what to do with it.
Right. And they'll say you have to go defend your honor.
Yeah. Then I'll do this and they'll die.
Yeah.
I'll
get cut up in little slice pieces. The immigration.
Yo, wait. I feel when we were coming through immigration back into the States.
I wish I had my fucking katana.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. So we were doing the immigration stuff at the Toronto airport because, you know, U.S. and Canada, good relations, I guess. And I like went straight through because, you know, U.S. guy. They were like, welcome back, King. Yeah. You know, high fives all around.
They're like, please, sir.
Yeah. And then.
What up, my boy?
Shooting me immediately.
And then Jordan like starts talking to the guy. And then I just come around and I'm like waiting. And then one of the other attendants was like, you can't loiter here. You have to keep going. And I was like. Should have been like,
I'm an American, bitch.
Yeah, what do you mean, dude?
1 million subscribers, so hold on. Step away?
2 million now, actually.
Just shooting you in the dick. Yeah.
But then the guy was being a dick to you.
Yeah, hey, man. What's this? Look, who knows what happens on the Patreon episode? Sadboys, some bullshit. Patreon.com/Sadboys. Maybe I'll say anything. I could say anything at all. But what I'll say on here, on the public, reviewable by anyone episode, is that I respect the work they do. I'd see, honestly.
Keeping America safe.
Yeah, yeah. Keeping America safe.
No back the blue, but back whatever color they were.
Yeah. Big green thumbs up. Sometimes.
Yeah, of course. And hey, man, I not at all was your behavior clearly some Stanford prison experiment bullshit where the only way you can come is by putting down a guy that's better looking than you. I think what bothers me about it is not so much. He was just being like really obstinate, and there was, you know, there was on my current visa, there's paperwork that, and this has not been communicated to me, you know, legally is whatever, where you are supposed to have it with you all the time. Now, that some people may claim like, well, it was the rules. You should have covered that. Now, that's fine with me. Turned out the only thing he had to do was like literally 5 seconds on his computer to like mark. Didn't have the paperwork this time. Make sure to bring it. If it happens again, it's an issue. It was a yellow card, right? Like it was, I shouldn't really be an issue. Man, my heart, I don't get heated about shit. My fucking heart rate is through the ceiling. It's so weird. But I think what I resent about it is that this, he was just being super obstinate and then just refusing to give me an answer on what was next. Mm. And I think he's very used to being able to intimidate people with the dog whistle of, wow, something might happen. Maybe you're stuck here. That I kept saying, like, I don't think he's used to people being willing to like soft challenge him. I was like, okay, understood. My apologies. What should we do?
Yeah.
And he wouldn't answer it. Like he would just be like, well, it's supposed to be with you. I'm like, you know what you're doing. You're delaying this because the answer is, well, I don't have to do fucking shit. I have to do something real quick on my laptop.
I'm trying to teach you a lesson or something.
And it was completely, I think what bothers me about it is that people that abuse even a soft position of power is just like, I don't know. It's everything we were saying about like people chirping online and so on. So it's like, they're so deliberately not being considerate because the thing they want is to feel good at the sacrifice of hey man, like, yeah, sure, block somebody. I don't know the circumstances of all people's visas. I'm sure there's extenuating circumstances, but like, I'm going to cry. Like, if you keep pushing on this, most of my life has been spent thinking about this for the last decade. Just don't, man. What do you get out of this? A little feeling, a little flex real quick.
Teaching an undocumented immigrant what's what.
Wait, come to think of it, brother. Yeah, okay.
Hell yeah.
Maybe a patriot, I will say. Of course, yeah. Move all the stuff I said. Cut that out. He was hot. He was so sick.
Yeah, he's actually my king.
He's so epic.
Teaching you a lesson.
Let's just land this plane. Speaking of...
Yeah, should I get my shit together?
Speaking of immigration,
Do you have a printer?
Papers, please. this about... Thanks, Hassan, for joining us.
Thanks for having me. This was great.
Always a pleasure. Much nicer than the people who hate you online would have you believe. And we will be continuing this podcast on patreon.com/sadboys with Sad Boys Nights. Patreon-only exclusive podcast where something exciting is going to happen.
I'll say the thing I definitely didn't say on this.
Yeah, we're going to mud wrestle.
We're going to mud wrestle. The dogs are going to be playing.
Yeah.
We might have a little cameo from the dogs.
Yeah, that'd be fun. You can see them compared in size now, which is surprising.
Yeah. But yeah, we end every episode of Sad Boys with a particular phrase.
We love you.
And we're sorry.
Boom. Unleash the dogs. The dogs are here to
squad.
Say hi. Hey, buddy. Oh, yeah. No, they have not stopped. Have they been going this whole time?
I gathered a bunch of episodes of Blue Bloods and came up with some fake names. In a episode list, two fakes.
You tricked me. Yeah. Gucci girl, Gucci girl, how you doing? How you moving, girl? Moving, girl, how's your day looking? That future girl, future girl, yeah, we all now. Take my money, go away, all you want it. Get too rich for me.